Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Paul says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And here is the reason. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now what he is saying is, you be reconciled to God. Quit being at odds. Quit finding fault. You be reconciled to God for this one singular reason. He is fully, completely reconciled to you by what Christ did on Calvary's tree. Now, everybody he died for, he's completely reconciled to. You be reconciled to him. I've entitled this message, "Be Ye Reconciled to God." Now, I think one of the favorite marriages I've ever performed was the marriage of two people who had been married and divorced over irreconcilable differences. And some years later, they reconciled and they wanted to be married again. I enjoyed performing that wedding so much. It's such a blessing in this life to see true reconciliation. If you've been at odds with somebody, isn't it a blessing when by the grace of God you're enabled to be reconciled to them? When men and women in a marriage are strained and then there's reconciliation, what a blessing. When friends are strained and become at odds and separated, but then something takes place that they're reconciled back together. Friends once again. Reconciliation is such a blessed thing. But there is a big difference in the reconciliation I just read about and the reconciliation that I've mentioned. In all of these times when human beings become at odds and become reconciled again, there's always two sides. They're always both at fault. There's some culpability on both sides where they've brought these problems on, and you can never call it one-sided. You know, in marriage problems, for instance, there's always two stories. There's always two sides. As one person said, there's always two sides of one piece of baloney. And I believe that. I've always liked that statement. And here's the difference between that and the reconciliation I'm talking about. In God being reconciled to the sinner, God didn't do anything to alienate the sinner. God's holy. God's perfect. He's never done anyone wrong. He's never done something that would make someone have to depart from him in anger, because everything he does is holy. This is truly a one-sided thing. He's the one who does the reconciling. That person who's at odds with him through their own fault, through their own wickedness, he's the one who does the reconciling. Now, in the book of Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, actually, more time is devoted in Paul's epistles to that church than any other epistle. One of the things that's unique going on in this relationship between Paul and the church of the Corinthians, he was always having to defend himself. They were always questioning his authority. And there are some 8 or 10 times throughout these two books where he's defending himself against their accusations. Now, generally speaking, if someone makes an accusation against you, it's best to just let it go. If you need to be defended, the Lord will defend you. And really, the more we try to defend ourselves, the deeper of a hole we generally put ourselves into. And there's a scripture in Exodus 14 that says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And that's the best policy, hold your peace. If you need defended, the Lord will defend you. Even if you are misrepresented, even if you are maligned, the Lord will take care of that. But the reason Paul defended himself is because if his authority was undermined, his message would be undermined. You see, Paul was taught the gospel directly by the Lord Jesus. He was brought up into the third heaven and taught the gospel by Christ himself. He wasn't taught by men. And there was a divine authority to what he was preaching. And these people who were questioning him were questioning him in the sense that if he can be questionable, his authority, his message can be brought into question. So keep that in mind as we begin in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you." We're not trying to sell ourselves to you and prove ourselves to you, but to give you an occasion to glory on our behalf rather than criticize us and listening to those people who are criticizing us, that you may have something to answer to them which glory in appearance and not in heart. They are concerned about how things look outwardly and not how things are on the inside. And you know, that would pretty much cover most of what goes on under the name of Christianity. It's all about how you look on the outside and not who you are on the inside. Paul goes on to say in verse 13, "For whether we be beside ourselves," it's to God. If we seem like fanatics, if we seem crazy, it's to God. He's worthy of being fanatical about, isn't he? "And if we be sober, clear-minded, logical, it's for your cause, it's for your benefit, for the love of Christ constraineth us." His love to us, our love to him. John said we love him because he first loved us. And if Christ loves you, that love never goes unreciprocated. Everybody he loves, loves him in return. And the love of Christ constrains, presses on us because we thus judge. If one died for all, then we're all dead. Now, who is referred to in the all? Is it saying that Christ died for all men without exception? Well, if that is what it does mean, then all men without exception will be saved because his death saves. But this is referring to all of the elect, all for whom he died. If one died for all, then all are dead. They're dead to the law. They're dead to the demands of the law. Christ answered that for them. They're dead. Verse 15, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all, to live for him who died for them. Verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh." We don't know any man in a fleshly way of thinking. We look at all things in light of the gospel, not just in a worldly sense. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, here one of the most important concepts in the Bible is brought out in Christ. If any man be in Christ. Now, what does it mean to be in Christ? Well, what does it mean to be in Adam? That means you trace your lineage to Adam. That means you are in him. And the scripture says, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. You see, when Adam sinned, everybody in him sinned. It's not simply that his sin was charged to everybody. Everybody sinned in him. I personally sinned. When Adam ate of that fruit, I ate of that fruit. You ate of that fruit. Somebody says, I wouldn't have done it. Yes, you would have. Yes, you would have. Without any question, you would have done exactly what he did. In Adam, the scripture says, all die. Well, in Christ. That means you trace your lineage to Christ himself. That means you're of him. That means you're united to him. That's your only hope in Christ. That's what baptism signifies. When he lived, I lived. When he died, when I go under the water, I'm saying when he died, I died. When I come up from the water, I'm saying when he was raised, I was raised. He is all my salvation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creature. He's a new creature. Now, creation is God's work. He didn't have any help in it. There was no one cooperating with him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. He is someone that he was not before. God said, a new heart will I give you. He doesn't change the old nature. He gives a new nature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Now, I've actually heard preachers take that passage of Scripture and say, I don't have the sinful desires and passions that I once did before I was saved. Old things are passed away. Now, the man who said that quite simply is a liar. That's not so. I don't believe that for a second. I can say without doubt that I have the same sinfulness now that I've always had in my old man. Same wicked desire, I'm ashamed to say it, but it's just so. And it's so with regard to you, whether you admit it or not, it's so. My old nature has not passed away. I'm still a sinner saved by grace, a sinner who's in Christ, but I still am a sinner. So that's not talking about this old nature no longer being with me. What's it talking about? Well, I have my old relationship with the law has passed away. I'm no longer guilty. I stand before the law without guilt, justified before the law. My old hatred of God is passed away. I love him. I love who he is. I love how he saves. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Christ said, behold, I make all things new. Now, here's what this means. It means I have a new history, and it's all good. I don't have any skeletons in the closet. I don't have any sins to be brought up on Judgment Day. Old things have passed away. They're all gone. All things have become new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. And next he says, verse 18, and all things are of God. They find their origin in God. The new creation is of God. Every aspect of salvation is of God. He elected me. That's of the Lord. He predestinated me to be just like his son. That's of the Lord. He justified me. He redeemed me. He gave me the new birth. He preserves me. It is he that will present me before the Father faultless and blameless. It is he who represents me. He is coming for me. Salvation is of the Lord. All things are of God. Now look what it says next. Who hath reconciled. He didn't say he's made reconciliation possible. It says he hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, he reconciled us. Who's the us? Everybody he reconciled. All the elect of God. Paul said in Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. When were you reconciled? When Christ died. That is my reconciliation before God. The reason for anger is removed by the death of his son. Having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were before times alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable before God. You see, that's what his reconciling death did. It made it to where every believer is holy and unblameable and unreprovable before God. The reason for alienation and anger has been removed by the death of Christ. You know, people walk around fearing that God's mad at them. Listen, if you're in Christ Jesus, he doesn't have any reason to be mad. You're perfect in Christ Jesus. You're holy in his sight. Now, let's go on reading. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, namely, here's what it is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself. Oh, that means so much. God was in Christ when Christ stood as a surety before time began for his people and took full responsibility for their sins. God was in Christ when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was with God and the Word was God. God was in Christ as the carpenter who was virgin born and lived a perfect life for 30 years in obscurity, nobody even knowing it. God was in Christ when he came as the prophet revealing who God is. God was in Christ as the law keeper. God was in Christ dying on the cross. God was the one who put him to death. God was the one who was put to death in the person of his dear son. God was the one doing the forsaking. God was the one who was forsaken. God was the one raising the dead. God was the one being risen from the dead. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. I love the way Christ is called the Savior of the world. And here's how he did this. Let's go on reading verse 19. Here's how he reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now, some 30-some years ago, I was very ill in the hospital. I had several things wrong with me, and thought I was going to die. They told my family, if you want to see him for the last time, come. I was at the University of Kentucky hospital at the time. And I remember thinking at that time, I'm going to meet God in this very night. What makes me think that I'm saved? And I started looking at my life. Now, I was a preacher at this time. I started looking my life over very carefully. And all I could see in my life was sin. My preaching, everything about me. All I could see about myself was that I was sin. I couldn't see one thing in me that could recommend me to God and cause me to go to heaven. And I remember I was so frightened. I thought, I'm going to wake up in hell very soon. And the Lord brought this scripture to my mind, Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And I saw at that time that everything that I thought about myself was true. But here's my hope. God doesn't charge me with it. He doesn't impute my sin to me. Now, how could God do that? Because Christ took my sin. It became his. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and drank of that cup, that was the sins of all of his people. My sin became his sin. He became guilty of the commission of that sin. That's why the Father forsook him. That's why the Father killed him. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself by not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. This is gospel preaching. This is what the gospel is all about, the word of reconciliation. Now then, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now what's an ambassador? He doesn't speak his own opinion. He comes as the representative of the country that he's representing. And he doesn't give his own thoughts or his own opinions. He gives the will of that country. Now, Paul says, we're ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, you be reconciled to God. Somebody says, well, I've never been at odds with him. Well, then you've never known who he is, because every natural man has been at odds with him. Every natural man has no love for God. Not the God of the Bible. They may feel comfortable with the God they've made up, but the God of the Bible, no natural man has any love for. We think, we hear of how he saves and how he elects and how he predestinates and how he's in control of everything. And we say, how can that be fair? How can God do this? How can God let this happen? How can a loving God let this happen? And why? Just judging God and criticizing God and calling into question his fairness and so on, which is so ridiculous that a sinful man would do that. I mean, he's God. Whatever he does is right. Yet men dare to call into question God and all he does. And Paul says, you be reconciled to God. Put down your arms. Put down your complaints. Put down your murmurings. Put down your unbelief. You be reconciled to God for this reason. Now, let me tell you this. You will not be reconciled to God until you see that he is completely reconciled to you through the death of his Son, and there's nothing else that's needed. If you see that, and everybody he is reconciled toward will see that, if you see that, you'll be reconciled to God. And then he gives this verse, which what one man said is the most important verse in the Bible, and I wouldn't debate that. Everything in the Bible is important, but listen to this verse. Verse 21, 4. He hath made him, to be sin. And do you hear that? He, God the Father, hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us as a substitute. And this one is described as the one who knew no sin. Now, Christ never sinned. He wasn't even capable of sinning. He's God. He's immutable. He lived a perfectly holy life, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He said, I do always those things that please the Father. He knew no sin. Yet God made him to be sin. Now, if you read on the great day of atonement, when the high priest put his hands on the head of the live goat, and that goat bore the iniquity and transgressions and sins of Israel, that's what Christ did on Calvary's tree. God made him to be sin. You see, when God punished Christ, he wasn't punishing the innocent. He was punishing the guilty. Christ was made to be sin for this glorious purpose, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, do you hear that, my dear friend? If Christ bore your sin, it's put away. And that perfect righteousness that he worked out, just as he took your sin upon himself, he takes his righteousness and gives it to everybody he died for everybody who believes the gospel. Dare we say this? Every believer is the righteousness of God. Now, I wouldn't dare say that if the Bible didn't say it. But my personal righteousness, the reason that I can face judgment without fear, actually with anticipation, looking forward to it, is because my personal righteousness is nothing less than the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, you be reconciled to God in Christ. He's reconciled to you. May God bless this to our understanding, and we pray that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. This is Todd Nyberg praying that God will reveal himself to you.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nyberg@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.